This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It is International Transgender Day, and in a little bit, we're going to be having a word with Sammy.
Well, exactly right. If people have been listening to Joy throughout the day, they will know that Sammy is one of the presenters, the afternoon presenters. She does the show right before us. She's also on the board of Joy. She does a whole lot of events, and she has decided to share her story. And so we're going to play this little package first, and then we're going to come back and have a bit of a chat to Sammy.
Just put your paws up, 'cause you were born this way, baby.
My worst kept secret. Yes, I am transgender. In technical terms, my gender, gender identity, gender presentation, and gender role is female, but my original biological sex is male. My sexual orientation is female, so I identify as lesbian, although I'm starting to use queer to identify myself more often. And with that comes a whole bunch of anxieties, most of which are unfounded, but that my brain refuses to be rational about. I like to get to know people well before I decide whether I'm going to tell them this thing about me. I really want people to assess my suitableness as a human being based on what you see and not on the fact that I'm trans. And whilst it is my right and my right only to decide whether someone should know this about me or not, this right has been taken away from me by countless others. Yes, maybe it's kind of cool knowing a trans chick, trans dyke, trans woman, etc. But as my public profile increases, it is just getting too difficult to limit who knows this about me. So if you didn't know or weren't sure, now you do. Anxieties just won't go away. My previous name shall not be seen, spoken, written, said, or heard. Being misgendered, using the wrong pronouns, especially by people who knew the old me, is insulting and awful, and any discussion of medical stuff that may or may not have happened to me is out of order, unless I say so. My kids have lost their dad, and I'm not their mum. The older two decided that loss should be permanent, but my youngest one has decided that life will be more interesting having Sammy in her life, and I think she is a greater person for that. I feel really loved and accepted everywhere I go, and by almost all of the people I come across. The fact that I have passing privilege really does make my life much easier and simpler than those that don't. Being short was just luck, I guess. My crazy red-haired decoy works a treat, and hormones have had a dramatic effect on my body and soul. I'm lucky to have lived two successful lives and have gained considerable life skills from both of them. My biological family has always been a problem in one way or other for me, from the youngest age I can remember. I feel that they should be proud of my achievements, my social conscience, and my willingness to actually go through with my transition. I think they've missed out on something pretty awesome. In the end, it is mainly their loss. I've moved on, and whilst I occasionally feel resentment towards them, I am the happiest of all of them, so I win. I want to inspire others. I want to show that when you want or need something really badly, that you can do anything at all. It might take persistence, experience, time, planning, strategy, hard work, energy, an understanding of how people think, mentors, role models, research, loss, and many other things. But in the end, when you achieve what you set out to do, your life and the life of others you touch can be much more rewarding than you could ever imagine. It was decided for me by others that I wouldn't make a good trans activist. There are many good people doing this. I will only ask you to keep in mind that every single trans person that you come across is different in almost every way, so generalizing is almost impossible. Trans people are each sensitive about things unique to them. You now know mine, so take note that you don't breathe breach these if you don't want me to bluntly confront you on them. Now, I'd like to ask you to forget that you heard this. I'm not Sammy the trans chick. I'm Sammy the queer woman with the bright red hair, a good person leading a wild, interesting, very full and happy life. There is a huge amount of information available if you'd like to educate yourself on some more issues.
Now, that is a powerful story. And as we said, that is by Sammy, who is one of the presenters here on Joy and also a part of the board. And, well, we couldn't mark Transgender Remembrance Day and hear a story like that without wanting to talk to this young lady. Thank you for joining us, Sammy.
Well, thank you for calling me a young lady.
Well, I did just ask you how old you were a few minutes ago, didn't I?
I'm not bad for a 23-year-old, am I?
Well, no. Exactly right. And what a life you've lived for a 23-year-old.
I know.
Now, congratulations.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to begin it, isn't it? Because you deliberately picked this day to do what you did, to come out, if you like.
Yeah, look, you know, International Transgender Day of Remembrance is often thought about in negative terms because we feel we have feelings for those people who have been, you know, violently murdered, or trans people who have committed suicide and other sorts of horrible things that have happened. Mm. But on the other hand, I think we need to celebrate that being trans can actually be a very positive experience for many of us as well. And you know, we kind of have it's kind of bipolar in that way. We have to do both. And I think that with my involvement with Joy, I'm now on the board. I've been presenting regularly for well over a year now, and I feel like I'm in a good position to come out and be visible as a trans person. It's not like I'm going to start beating a drum and saying trans this all the time, but just so that people are familiar with the fact that I'm trans and I'm leading a fully functional, happy life.
Now, I'll be honest with you that when I, before I started working here at Joy, volunteering here at Joy, I didn't know any trans person, and I was pretty ignorant about the issues that transgender people face. And I imagine that that's not an uncommon thing for many members of the gay and lesbian bisexual community.
Or even more.
Even the mainstream.
And of course more.
Yeah. Yeah. Beyond that, yeah.
That many, many of our listeners could... What's your journey been like up until here?
Look, I think that the important thing to keep in mind is that everybody's journey is different.
Mm. So, well, what's yours?
Well, you know, look, I've only been out for, I'd have to think about the numbers, but it's only like 2.5 years or so.
And what do you mean by out, then?
Well, I decided to tell the world that I was trans. Mm-hmm. So I lived for over 4 decades in my previous gender, mm-hmm. and tried to make a success of that life, and elements of it were successful.
So you lived as a man until you were...
In my 40s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
And were you, I know you have children, were you married?
Yes, for 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With, you know, a house and a white picket fence and 2 cars and a boat and 6 motorcycles and,
lovely.
Yeah, wow. And all that sort of stuff. And all that stuff that you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
All, you know, a career. I was an executive in a publicly listed company. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd sold a business. I'd, you know, made a little bit of money. And all the things you're supposed to do in life, you know, aspirational people to be happy. And I was so miserable.
But you weren't. Yeah, you weren't.
I was so miserable.
So tell us about that experience. I mean, what was it like?
For me, I got to rock bottom. Mm. So absolute rock bottom. And I came up with this very simple binary decision. People said to me, oh, you're so courageous doing this and you're so brave and all those sorts of things. But that's actually not true at all. In actual fact, it was a really simple decision. Did I want to continue being alive or not? It was really that simple.
You weren't living the life that you wanted to live.
It wasn't. I was so uncomfortable.
Yep.
And so unhappy and suffering from such terrible depression, mm-hmm. and it was like I didn't want to wake up out of bed the next day. It was just horrible, and the feeling of being transgender has been something that's been with me for as long as I can remember.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, I remember back to about 10 years old some particular events, but I think that my memory of it went back further than that. So I could clearly tell you about some events that happened back then, and so it's something that's been with me all the time. And this thing came to me and it said, well, look, I'm really unhappy and I'm not enjoying my life at all, and and I've done all these things that is supposed to make me happy, and I don't feel happy. Mm-hmm. But I've always wanted to live my life as a woman. And
that was a lifelong experience for you.
It was. And look, I was prepared to lose absolutely everything, every single thing, to never know any of the people that I knew. I'd been experimenting for a long time when the opportunity came along with cross-dressing, and it always made me feel comfortable and happy. I felt kind of normal-ish. It was like this is something to try. And if it didn't work, it didn't matter. At least it was one last chance of actually remaining, being alive. And what was truly outstanding and amazing was the support that I had from all the people I knew. So I actually published a website, and I sent an email to 150 people one night to tell them about me. And
I mean, when you did it, big then. That is a big way of doing it, isn't it?
It was. I mean, I'd gone
through.
You
didn't run away and, and do it on your own.
Well, I'd started off by telling my children, and then my business partner, and he was like my last gatekeeper. And once he kind of gave his, he was actually extremely supportive of it, which was a big surprise because we've been working together very closely for about 16 years at that point in time. And
Think anyone knew?
No, not a clue.
No.
No. In fact, I tried to make sure that I was completely disconnected from the gay and the queer environment because I never want anyone to be suspicious of me.
Right.
I wanted this thing to go away.
So you disconnected yourself completely from it.
Well, I was never connected to it. Mm. I didn't want anyone to ever say, oh, are you gay? Because that would have been really frightening, scary question for me to have to deal with. And so I just stayed away from it completely. But, the support that I've had from all of my old friends, I've had a lot of people working for me over the years. I'm still really good friends with them. My old business partner and I are still best friends.
What about your family then?
No, that hasn't been a very successful experience at all.
A little bit of it has, hasn't it?
I've got one little part left.
Yeah.
So my daughter Mel was in the studio today, and I see her every 2 or 3 weeks or so. We catch up for a coffee or dinner or something like that, and she's just a beautiful, gorgeous human being, and supports me. And I've got two older kids that basically won't have nothing to do with me, and
I can't imagine how that has been for you.
I've always had trouble with my family, my biological family.
Yeah.
So I have a foster family in New Zealand that looked after me for a little while when I was a baby, and they've been about three quarters of them extremely accepting of me and beautiful and gorgeous. And look, I've made my own family. I have quite a few very close friends. There's medical stuff that you have to go through when you're transgender, and I've been able to get a support team of, like a dozen different people to help me with little bits and pieces of things to help me when I needed it. I've had to make my own family, and it's not the same as family as such, but I now feel like I've got to this place. Well, I do have people in my life that unconditionally love me like family does. Then they're not blood relatives, and if I'm in trouble, they'll come and help me.
Well, you wonder on International Transgender Day that it is important to celebrate the lives of the people that we've lost, but it's also really, really important to celebrate those that have made that journey, isn't it? Because the bravery that it takes to do that is unbelievable. You might believe that it's, that you had no other option. Well, as you mentioned in the beginning, you did. There's a lot of other options. People live a life where they don't do that, where they don't go through with it. People end their lives by not wanting to go through with it. I think if you can manage to go through with it at risk of losing everything you've got, it takes a great deal of courage.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, because I've had a lot of experience in business and managing people and being in leadership roles and those sorts of things, things like strategy and planning and execution are really things that I think about all the time. So when I'm getting out of bed in the morning, the strategy is before I go to bed, I set my alarm clock, and then I have a planning phase, and then I actually get out of bed, and every single thing that I do involves those sort of three things. So transitioning is an extremely complex project. There's so many different things and elements to it that you need to think about. How you talk. Voice was the very first medical intervention that I got, and I did some voice therapy, but there's all the other medical bits and pieces, and there's hair, and then there's clothes and makeup and how you walk and every single thing. So it's a complex project.
It's a new life.
So you need to plan all these things.
New life.
You need to plan them. You need to think about them in advance. You need to write down a bit of paper, the 500 things that you now need to go and learn about in order to be able to transition successfully. And by doing all those sorts of things and the experience that I've got, I was able to plan it and make it all happen. And it's been it's been the most successful project I've ever undertaken.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're clearly a really resilient person. And it's been really nice to hear a bit about your journey on this day, International Transgender Remembrance Day. And on behalf of, I think, well, certainly Michael and myself, we thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about it, because it's such an important message to get across to the listeners.
And you would imagine year after year after year, it would become more normal. You know, it'll become more of the norm, you know.
Well, people get more exposure to it and it's more accepted and so on.
Because, I mean, I have no qualms of accepting. How could you not? How could you live your life? But then, you know, we ask people every day to accept us for being gay or lesbian or to be black or to be Jewish or to be, what you know, it's special needs, anything. It is just, you know, part of being different and, you know, being a human being. Which seems ridiculous that there is an acceptance all around the world.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Sammy.
Thank you very much for having me on. I much appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Now, on the weekend, I went to a party.
All right.
A birthday party. You were there.
I was.
Yes. And I was, well, I didn't say that I was put in charge of making the cake, but I volunteered because I was, this was my my friend Mark Gay.
Yep.
Now, Mark Gay is an interesting person because Mark Gay is gay.
Right.
And I mean, it's an interesting name, isn't it?
It is.
For a gay person.
It would have been difficult growing up, I would imagine.
Yes, indeed.
Although once you give everybody the obvious, it sort of takes a sting out of it, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think so. I don't know what his experience at school was like. I do know that he did fight it for many years.
Yeah.
Included, got married and had a child and then suddenly decided he was gay by name, gay by nature.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess like it's if you've got a big nose and everybody goes, you know, they immediately go with that. Or, I mean, it would be nice to be like Michael Big Willie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But that's
probably
not going
to happen.
No, you know, you just don't know, do you?
Anyway, I agreed to make Mark Gay's birthday cake.
Right.
As a surprise.
Well, everybody knows now that you do great cakes.
And I like it. It's good fun.
Yes.
Anyway, so it was not without its drama, though.
Right.
A little bit of drama in that I sort of basically ran out of time because I didn't give myself enough time.
Right.
And so basically,
what was it like? I mean, what did it look like? Why did you run out of time?
Oh, well, so basically what happened was I thought, well, I'll make it on Thursday, decorate it Friday, then Saturday, because the party was Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yes.
I thought then I'll be nice and relaxed on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, Thursday I got invited out for dinner, and so I did that, didn't make the cake. So I baked it on Friday, and it's a cake that takes a long time. This recipe takes a long time to make. Like, basically, it takes at least 2 hours in the oven for a normal-sized cake. But if you're making it bigger,
it was large, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a large cake. Yeah. Exactly. And so, anyway, I put it in the oven, everything like that. That was all going okay. I thought, it'll be fine. I'll get up early tomorrow, and I'll put it all together. It'll be fine. It won't be too hard.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I made the cake, and then after like about 2.5 hours, I put my little skewer in, as you do, to check whether or not it's baked. And it told me that it was.
Right.
Because, you know, if it comes out with nothing on it, it means that it's caked. So anyway, that was all good. So it's sitting on the bench, and then suddenly, I don't know, just before I was about to go to bed, this is about 11:30 on Friday night.
Yeah.
I thought I'll just sort of cut the top off it and to be able to like get it out and then put it in like the container and stuff and I cut the top of it and it was like battery in the middle.
Oh no.
Like it hadn't cooked all the way through.
Oh no.
And I don't know why my skewer test didn't work, but in any case,
because it might have been the pit that you did.
It worked.
Did you do it in the middle of the
cake?
Well,
I thought I did, yeah.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, so what do I do? And so I had to then obviously put it back in the oven. It took another hour and a half. Anyway, that's all okay. It was done. The next morning, I, after the gym, got to making the cake and started beating the icing.
Mm.
And so to do this, you have to put the electric beaters on, you know, butter and all that kind of stuff. And it takes a long time.
Yes.
And at this point, like, it was already kind of 11:30 in the morning. Had to drop it off by 1 o'clock.
And meanwhile, you had to get your mask
I had
made.
To get my mask done. I had to get ready.
Oh.
I had to, you know, I'd already ironed my shirt and everything. So that was okay. I was prepared.
Could you not just nip down to your local supermarket and bought, like, one with the wiggles on
it? I was thinking of doing
yeah.
that. Because then what happened was the beaters stopped working.
Oh, no.
So
lucky you've got very good wrist action.
Well, you would think
so. You know, a single man.
But no, I had to race on down to... Yes, I know. Anyway, got it all together.
Little Martha's Stewart, you are.
I agree. Got there, got ready, put it in the car, drove on down to the venue, got to the venue...
And dropped
it. The cake had smeared all over the back seat.
Oh, no.
In that half of it had come off and was sitting on the back seat.
You had a gay all on the back seat.
Well, yes, that's right. Not the first time, thankfully.
Yes, what did you write on it? It was happy birth gay,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. And so it basically was half off the cake board, half on the seat. And so I'm in the middle of Grey Street in St Kilda trying to get me cake back onto its board.
Yeah.
So I walk into the venue on Berkeley Street and with a smeared cake everywhere.
Wow.
And like these people are going, oh, my God, what happened to your cake? What happened to your cake? You know, which is, of course, you know, the
they
thing that...
They sound weird over there, don't they?
I wanted to hear, of course.
And are we going to have a photo up?
We can put... Let's put a photo on our Facebook page.
It was black, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a black cake. I got to the venue and they were like, it's all right, the kitchen will fix it. Don't worry about it. That was nice.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was nice.
No.
And
Did they make it look better then?
Yeah.
Well, you know, because it had been smeared. I didn't mean it wasn't.
No.
You
know, but the guy...
I'd never be rude about your cake.
No, thankfully, never. The guy who...
Dolly might have been.
The guy who runs the venue.
Yes.
Someone goes, oh, wow, what a cake. What a, you know, happy birth gay, how funny. And the guy goes, well, it's a bit misleading, but the guy whose birthday it is actually, surname is actually gay. And I said...
Was he the one that was outside earlier?
I said, it's not misleading at all.
Oh, well, you've got to get this picture up. It was a great cake.
It was a fun cake. Yeah.
And you should start a business.
Yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yes. I mean, isn't it?
Making a 4-hour cake and getting paid $50. Who am I, Dolly Diamond?
What? How rude.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
After the news with Gary Wilson, the locker room is kicking off with Michael and Rolly. And what's coming up on the show today, Michael?
It's another big show. We're going to be crossing live to London.
Live to London?
I know. How about that? We're going to have a chat with Duncan Irvine of the Graces Cricket Club in London. That's an openly gay cricket club. And we're going to ask him about the upcoming Ashes series in Australia. And
are they playing in the Ashes?
No, they're not that good, but they are taking a keen interest in it. It actually started as a supporters group, and then they decided to form a cricket club out of that. So they take a very keen interest in the fortunes of the England cricket team.
And do you have to be gay to play cricket for the team?
I think it's an inclusive club, like most of the gay sporting teams.
Yes.
You can be a straight ally and decide to pull on the boots as well.
To bat for the other team.
Bat for the other team, yeah, yes.
Perfect.
We're going to talk roller derby. We're going to speak with someone who goes by the name of Monumental.
Oh, yes.
They always have these interesting names,
yeah,
don't
they? It's a weird, wonderful world, the world of roller derby.
It's
big.
It's enormous.
You better believe it's big, yeah.
I mean, we probably don't appreciate it, the three gay men sitting in the room right now, but it's particularly big amongst the female lesbian population.
Yeah, very. And is it
Derby? As opposed to the male lesbian population?
Or? Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to just say the female population, but then I was like, oh.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Is it Derby or Derby?
Look, depends where you're from.
I'm not going to buy into that debate.
All right.
Well,
you seem to comment on everything else.
The lesbian one was all right.
I don't know the answer to the one about derbies or derbies.
All right.
If people are interested in joining a gay AFL team, we're going to have a chat with Jason Ball, who's trying to set one up.
Oh,
wow.
Of only gay players.
Yeah. Well, not only. Again, an inclusive team.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine, because, I mean, it's interesting in
imagine
this town.
Their locker room.
Well, this is the thing. Like, we have a gay rugby team in Melbourne,
yes.
And that rugby's not a big sport at all.
No, that's right.
So how come we don't have a gay AFL team?
Well, I don't know.
So we're going to find out.
Well, ask Jason Ball.
Yeah, and we're going to have the usual A-League roundup. We're going to talk about the Socceroos' big win over Costa Rica last night, and also what's coming up this week in sport.
Did you mention a minute ago that it's your birthday today?
It is my birthday
today. All right, well, thanks for coming on. Well, should we sing happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that'll do.
Yeah, thanks very much. I don't think anyone wants to hear that.
Well, they've made you a cake.
Have they? Yeah.
Glenn?
I didn't know otherwise.
You've left it a bit late.
Well, here it is.
No cake, but my lovely partner did deliver me a bunch of flowers to my office today.
Oh, that's lovely. Was that the first time he's ever done that
after 7.5 years. So.
Oh, really? What does he want? Yeah.
I don't know. I must have done something.
What was it like when the flowers... I've always intrigued. No one's ever sent me flowers at work. What was it like when they actually arrived? Like, did you go... Because you are a ranger. Did you go, like, incredibly redder than what you normally are anyway?
I don't know. I think you're just getting me back for that comment
I thought, well, it's open slather now, Mike.
You are a ranger. You have no soul. Like, thank you for that.
Oh, no words.
They were your words.
We will be podcasting.
You implied it.
How, did you get ridiculously embarrassed?
No, I was just displeased.
Lovely.
Because when we, like, kind of pick on you a little bit in here, you always go a little bit pink.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely. It's like you are now.
It's just that this studio is so stuffy and warm. Oh, yes. That's the only reason. I'm not in the least bit embarrassed about getting flowers at work.
What were you outing
me as a ginger to all our listeners who don't actually know that?
Oh, sorry.
In radio land, that's really unfair.
What were the flowers that you got?
I think they were orchids. I don't really know.
You don't know.
They were purple.
Mm. Oh, yeah, they would be orchids.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other purple flower. I host a sports show. To retain my credibility, I can't become an expert in types of flowers.
Well, you have a lovely birthday.
Thanks.
And, good luck with later on.
Yeah. No worries. Thanks, boys.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.